Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we're so happy you're here. What are we going to talk about today, Sam?
So today we are talking about super simple, straightforward topic of family estrangement. You know, I think this is something that we've both been talking about that as therapists we see a lot, and people come to us even just like right off the gate, initial session. I'm trying to explore the relationship I have with ex family member, my family as a whole, and, you know, kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
So we recognize that this is clearly, and I think for Gen X definitely, but I think for millennial aged individuals and Gen Z now, this is becoming an even larger topic that I'm seeing myself more and more like in just my scrolling, my social media use. Hearing it from people in my personal life and obviously as a therapist. So we just decided as we chatted about it that this was something we wanted to talk a little bit more about.
Yeah, I think for lack of unfortunate of a word, it is like slightly trendy right now. And we'll start where we always do with sort of explaining the one side and the other side, and we will meet you in the nuance in the middle.
Yes.
So what I see is right, the old way before this was trendy, I think, was, right, family is blood. You know, are indebted to your parents. They raised you. They cared for you. You are going to have a relationship with them. You owe them, and sort of like you have to take care of them when they get older. That's the debt that you sort of pay. And there's no good reason to not have a relationship with your parents. And I think now, like you said, Sam, millennials, I think there's this with social media, with the internet, with us recognizing that parental abuse happens and not everyone is a good parent, and the rise of boundaries, there are people that are realizing that their relationship with their parents wasn't good, isn't healthy, isn't something that works for them. There may have been trauma, pain, or just, you know, the parents currently are unworkable in the relationship, and they are pondering going no contact, ending the relationship. And that's causing some people who are in the other camp to say that therapists are convincing people to end relationships with their families, or estrangement is just a trendy topic and it's a harmful thing that is trending, and social media is convincing people to end relationships with their parents. What have you seen, Sam?
Well, as a content creator, it was almost exactly a year ago. It was on my birthday, November 5th. This woman starts, she was clearly older.
Yeah.
Just based on, I went to her profile real quick and she looked like she was probably 60s, I would say. She starts blowing up my comments across my videos saying, "You're not God. Who are you? How dare you? My daughter posted your video and now she won't talk to me. Who do you think you are?" Like, it was just like she commented, "You're not God," probably like 15 times.
What video was this, Sam? Because you don't even talk about
parental estrangement
or parents.
It was a video. I bet if I scrolled back, I could remember it because I blocked her.
Yeah.
Because she would not stop. It was like the whole day. It literally was like 72 hours of her just like any video that I posted, she was the first one to comment on it saying her daughter posted this video of mine, which I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, it was a video that's like, "Hey, you get to do what's best for you. Like, you know, other people might be upset about that, but you get to take care of yourself. You get to prioritize yourself." Like, pretty like milquetoast content, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And she was just furious with me. And she said her daughter posted the story, or posted my video to her story, and then informed this woman out of the blue, in her words, that her daughter was going no contact with her.
Yeah.
So just right there, like, is an example of this very intense response, which clearly, mm-hmm. like, I'm sure this is a woman that is clearly heartbroken, devastated, yeah. angry, confused. Absolutely. But I am not the problem.
Right. And I think, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't bad therapists out there.
For sure.
There are. But I would say, I think what people forget so much is that so much happens behind the scene before someone makes a decision.
Yes.
So even if they did go to a therapist and the therapist was the one that helped them step over that threshold, there were years probably of difficulties, mistreatment, pain, whatever is going on behind the scenes that led someone to take that final step. Mm-hmm. Like, I think family estrangement, the example that I always think of is it's like an overnight – it's like the idea that we say someone's an overnight success.
Yeah, it's not true.
Right? Right? Like,
it's not
whenever
true.
You say someone's an overnight success, then you look – it's like they've been working on this for 10 years, but just mm-hmm. no one knew. It's the same thing with this is this child probably has been harboring, working on, trying to figure out the relationship for many, many, many years. They just eventually took enough action that you paid attention to it.
Right. And I would even say, like, over years, I think a lot of times it's decades.
Yeah, it's true.
It is decades of history. And also in many of these families, and even just looking at my clients' families, we are looking at generational trauma.
Yes.
Most of the time for parents who the children are being deeply reflective of the relationship and deeply reflective of what their true experience was as a mm-hmm. child growing up in this home, being cared for and or not cared for by these people, there is a generational trauma element mm-hmm. that is involved there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is – and I think for anybody who is listening that has gone through this thought process mm-hmm. or has weighed this out or is currently working through it, mm-hmm. it is the most complicated thing you will mm-hmm. ever do. And it is so emotionally layered.
Yes.
And – it takes a long time to work up to the moment where you say, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. And I think people forget to, and I always think about this because when I worked at a rehab, I really had an upfront view on how problematic parents were and how, right, these parents would be begging this child to get sober, to stop doing drugs, said they would do anything for it. And then a funny thing would happen where we would get into a family session and the parents would say, no, not like that. Like, mm-hmm. I want you to be sober, but no, not that way. I don't want you to change and get sober. I don't want you to call me out and get sober. I don't want you to change the family dynamics to get sober. I want you to just get sober.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that is just – it is just so hard with that sometimes because I think that parents want children to behave or their adult kids to have an emotional relationship with them. A lot of parents don't want to be reflective or don't have the ability to be reflective and they don't want the dynamic to change. And I think that's a huge part of the crux of it is If there's an issue in the relationship and you don't want to end up in estrangement, are you willing to do the work to hear the pain? It doesn't mean you have to say, like, I hate when parents do the whole thing of like, well, I was just a terrible parent then. I can't do anything. Because that is like complete defensiveness and is just a way that you're worming out of the situation. Like,
and it doesn't help anything. All comments like that do is center your pain to distract from you taking accountability.
Exactly. And we're not even saying, right, like people, children aren't at fault. I mean, in my example, right, these kids were using drugs. Like clearly they caused a lot of pain and they had right. a lot of fault. But it is, yeah, it is being willing to listen, to hear, to be accountable on some level. And it's, I think that is why it's happening so much in this generation because boomers, I think, were, you know, generationally raised to kind of like be quiet, not say anything, not, especially women, right, not be empowered. And then we raised millennial women to be much more empowered. And now parents are mad that people are being empowered by saying, you know, I was told that I could do anything I want. I was told that I was allowed to have opinions, and now you're mad that I have an opinion towards you.
You're mad that there are natural consequences to the decisions that you made as a parent,
mm-hmm.
and the decisions that you sometimes did not make, mm-hmm. as well. And going back to like your work with the rehab, part of why I, as a therapist, did not want to work with adolescents,
mm-hmm.
is because a lot of parents will drop their teenager off at therapy,
yes.
and be like, fix them. And yeah. the second we start actually diving in and figuring out what's going on, it is 20% the behavior of the teen,
mm-hmm.
and 80% the way the family unit functions and operates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second you bring that up, what magically happens? Ooh, our schedule got a little tight. Looks like we don't have time for therapy. And I just like, I didn't want to deal with that professionally. Yet also looking at it clinically now, working with adults and mm-hmm. listening to their stories and their experiences, more often than not, what I explain to them when they kind of come to me and they're like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't get why they're like this. Boomers were literally raised by the group called the Silent Generation. The generation before boomers is mm-hmm. literally labeled the Silent Generation. They were the ones born between like 1925 and 1944.
Probably the Great Depression era, right?
Yes.
My parents always are like, I was born by great – I had parents that were born in the Great Depression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is why we are so frugal.
We learned how to keep money in our mattress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't trust the banks. Anyway, it's – so I take it all the way back there because you need the perspective – of who our parents were raised by.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally like, go outside, adios, we'll see you when the lights come on the street. I'm not responsible for you beyond the base level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I give you a home, I give you clothes, I give you food, I help get you to school.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And anything outside of that is not my obligation. Anything that happens to you is your fault. And thus you need to figure it out.
Yeah.
So when you're raised with that, with also boomers being brought into the greatest period of prosperity that the United States has ever seen on just a baseline historical level.
Yeah.
They really hit the peak of financial stability, social stability, career stability. So with that in mind, the picture that I try to paint when I start with, okay, our parents were raised by people who were raised by the Silent Generation,
mm-hmm.
is boomers, while they were given this very hands-off, dismissive, distant parenting that was very focused on really more like survival and mm-hmm. like physical raising as opposed to emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They were born into this insane era of prosperity,
mm-hmm.
this insane era of prosperity, of peace, of
industrialization, right? Yes. Like the dot-com boom.
Yep, the dot-com boom. All of these elements all worked in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so while they're over here getting everything that they want financially, you know, safety, stability, all these sorts of things, they're now raising us,
mm-hmm.
well, and in between even Gen X. So their children are Gen X and millennials, which then leads into this idea of like, oh, well, like we should care about you emotionally, but they have no tools to do that.
Yeah.
They were told that it's important to hold space for your kid, be present for your kid, build them up, talk to them, let them have feelings, but nobody like gave them any tools to actually do that.
Totally.
So there's a lot of confusion there, I think, for boomer parents of like, but I asked you how your mm-hmm. day was every day.
Yes. Yes.
And so there's this confusion of why the bare minimum wasn't enough. because they were able to put in the bare minimum and have success.
And I think too, I always try to remember like therapy as a, right, psychotherapy as a model was not created until the 1950s. Like the Counseling Association was not created.
Right.
Therapy wasn't a thing. You know, there was obviously people who lay down on couches, Freud, hysteria, all of that. But in our modern day iteration, it didn't exist. So people didn't even talk about like how to parent. The only access to information was like by going to a library and checking out a book or like reading an encyclopedia. Like there was very limited access to information, I think, as well. And I like to also remember that a lot of our parents were raised by parents who spanked them.
Yes.
Who used physical violence.
Yes.
So a lot of boomers, I think, didn't spank kids. I mean, many of them did, but less for sure than their parents. Mm-hmm. And that is like, I didn't physically beat you. I didn't spank you. I was a great parent because I never laid my hands on you, which is such a bare minimum if we're thinking about it. And whenever I get lost in the sauce on these conversations when I'm talking to clients or parents and I'm trying to find my way, I always come back to like, if it's not okay to hit another person in real life, it is not okay to hit your child. Like anything that you're doing, physically violent, emotionally violent, if you wouldn't do that to another adult person,
you should not
have a right to do that to your child, period.
Well, and I worked for CPS for a while. And so that's Child Protective Services. So I investigated allegations of abuse and neglect. Darkest years of my life. That was like bad. Saw and was a part of like some really insane stories. And I think what was so interesting was all of it was always generational. It always involved some generational component. It was very rare that you had a child that was from a stable, secure home that was having child and family services called on them. And what would end up happening more often than not is the parents did something to the kid, and then the kid at that point at times was already living with like grandma and grandpa, but parents were in and out. Then you find out from grandma and grandpa that they had been in trouble with the state at one point or another for when they were raising their kid. And then I would end up hearing about how their parents totally like neglected and didn't care about them. And so, you know, obviously like when we're talking about this, we're talking about physical abuse or emotional abuse, we're talking about the far end of the spectrum. Absolutely. But I think that was embraced for a lot of years. This idea of what is it like, spare the rod, spoil the child? Wasn't that the saying? And that was a saying that was used like through the 80s, through the 90s. So I think there's a lot of us who are like millennial aged that now recognize some of those behaviors that we were victim to and parenting techniques that we were exposed to and raised with that did nothing to make us like grow in any sort of positive way. It kept us stunted. It taught us shame. It taught us like all the way from if your parents, you know, beat you up, if it was severe or even if it was just occasional, or all the way to if your parents just didn't talk to you. Like if you just kind of felt ignored, if you
Parents were emotionally unavailable, that is so painful and not talked about. And oh, it sends shivers down my spine.
Or, you know, something that I hear a lot is parents who told their kid, like if their kid was crying or upset, go in your room and come out when you're happy. Like that is suppression 101.
Totally.
So I think in kind of laying all this out, and dear listener, we really appreciate you coming on this ride with us because this is this is a complex topic. But the reason we're weaving this web and kind of giving this more like generational historical insight is because this is the exact framework that I give to my clients when they are trying to make the decision of what they want to do. And this is just like a generic, like my clinical professional experience and Amanda's mm-hmm. as well, thrown out to give like a base foundation to just show how complex this is. Mm-hmm. And I think if there is a parent listening that feels really upset or really frustrated with decisions that their child is making or feeling that mm-hmm. their child is not talking to them and being unfair, I really want you to sit in that discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I really want you to think of the feedback that they have given you mm-hmm. and what they have told you and their reasons, and think of the way that you raised them and maybe the ways that you fell short, and honor that those were mistakes.
And just like, you can make a mistake. It yes. doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make right. you a horrible no. parent.
No.
We all make mistakes. Like, as a parent, I can say, like, I know I've made mistakes. Yep. We'll continue to make mistakes. Yep. The most important thing that I always come back to is like, repair is the most important thing we can do
yes.
in any relationship. Yes. There will always be ruptures.
Yep.
And I think things often become estrangement. Mm-hmm. Because the repair cannot happen over and over and over again. And one or both sides keep trying to initiate the repair. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. And that gets exhausting after mm-hmm. a while.
And the first step that I give, if a parent is concerned that a child is going to come at them with a difficult conversation or you know, chat with them about something that will probably feel very triggering. Mm-hmm. I say, don't yeah, but them. Mm. Just hear them. And don't try to justify what you did. Don't try to explain away what you did. And I think, I mean, a lot of this is just like accountability 101. You can apply right. it to anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any relationship too. If you're trying to yes. mend, this is like repair 101 yes. also. Just
literally
sit on your hands, close your mouth.
And listen. Let them go and yeah. let them talk and just say, you know what? I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so you can sorry. Also, as a parent, I think there's this misconception that drives me. I'm really passionate about talking about this. Like, their feelings are valid. You can also like hear them, validate their feelings and not agree.
Yes.
And I think yes. a huge issue that happens is parents and kids have different recollections of their childhood mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, adulthood, mm-hmm. whatever, their relationship. And parents get incredibly stuck on, no, this is the way it was. You were a child. You don't remember. You're wrong. I'm right. You're making things up. A therapist has told you something. And I think it is so crucial to remember that kids' brains are different. They develop differently. Memories are hard. Memories are confusing. Like, we are never – if our goal in any relationship is to prove that we're right and someone else is wrong, we will never be able to have a like mm-mm. good relationship with them. We're always going to have different perceptions of what's happening in the world. One could argue that is literally the problem
right.
of this country and right. this world. But we have to be able to be in relationship with someone. You can, to Sam's point, like if you're a parent listening, like you can listen, you can hear, you cannot agree, you can validate their emotions. You can still say, like, I'm so sorry that this was your experience. Even if it wasn't your intention, mm-hmm. you can still express sadness or disappointment or remorse mm-hmm. for that this was their experience. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you said earlier about kind of that back and forth of perspective. Five people will grow up in the same home mm-hmm. and talking to them, you will hear five different experiences.
Yeah.
Like I can tell you on a personal level, my sister and I were 6 years apart with a brother smack dab in the middle. We have completely different perspectives of what growing up was like. Yep. We can empathize with each other, but we had two different experiences in the home. And so I think to kind of use this to like segue into, you know, the kids who are, you know, the adults who are listening to this, but you are children of parents that you are contemplating this idea mm-hmm. of no contact and estrangement and processing what your reality was. Your reality is valid. Mm-hmm. The reality that you experienced in the home is valid. Mm-hmm. we can now start to layer in intent. We can start to layer in repair. We can start to layer in accountability. We can start to layer in exposure, experience, family history, right? Like, your experience is valid and it deserves to be heard. And then the next layer of that is figuring out, okay, what does feel accurate to me now that I'm adult with a fully formed brain? And what feels like it was just me being a little kid feeling confused and hurt and overwhelmed? And, you know, when I have clients come to me and say, I think I want to go no contact. I have then worked with people for upwards of a year, picking back the layers, working through what things meant, trying to identify what it was about the relationships that caused them the most harm, caused them the most pain. And I think this is the big one that is going to be a spicy question for some people. Is no contact really the answer? As valid as your anger is, as valid as your pain is, no contact when you have been like railing against that marble wall for years, trying to get through, trying to have conversations, trying to have space held, and nothing's happening. Sure. Let's talk about the level of no contact we want to go to. But if you've been sitting on this on your own and you haven't told a soul in your family that you have anger, hurt, resentment, frustration, anger, irritation, you will absolutely get put on blast when you all of a sudden drop the text that's like, hello, I have decided to go no contact. Do not question me. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, you, there has to be a spectrum here. If we are expecting, you know, as Gen Z, millennial, even like late Gen, you know, early Gen X individuals, if we are trying to expect our parents to learn and grow in terms of communication, accountability, reflection, repair, if we are expecting that from them, we have to be willing to step in that space as well.
Yes.
And this is the part that I talk about with my clients who just come and they're like, I need help figuring out how to go no contact with my mom. You will not, as a therapist, hear from me, okay, let's go. Like, so you're going to text her and you're going to say like, goodbye. Like, no. Because no contact can be avoidant.
Yes.
As much as it is intentional. And I lay that out to say, if you are feeling so conflicted about no contact, there's also layers of no contact.
Yes. Yes.
It could be, you know what? I've decided Christmas is a shit show every fucking year. So I am no longer going to do Christmas. However, I will do New Year's or I will do Thanksgiving or right. And this is just an example, right? Like, it doesn't have to be this constant all or nothing thinking.
If you are hearing me and Sam talk all about the nuance of estrangement and you're struggling with a difficult relationship in your life, I would love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. We are based in Philadelphia and we have therapists located in 43 states across the country, so we probably can help you. If you're interested in learning more, visit our website at therapyforwomencenter.com. I love that. I think that's so – this is why I love doing this podcast with you. I just think it is so – that is it. I can't speak for other therapists. Obviously, I think good ones do that for sure and understand the nuance of this. And I do think also it matters what the relationship is like now too. I think that is like a big missing piece sometimes of – I think a lot of people can get over a difficult childhood trauma, abuse even, if the parent is willing to hear – willing to repair and willing to take up accountability and move forward and create a new relationship that's like negotiated on together. And I think that's what's so hard is parents often are just like, well, I'm sorry, I was a terrible parent and, you know, I did the best I could and all of these things and, you know, you're taking no responsibility and they don't take any responsibility and then it just all disintegrates. And I think that I always come back to it also matters how the current relationship is. And I would argue I think there are cases where adult children do try to, like you said, set this really aggressive mm-hmm. no contact to mm-hmm. try to get the parent to do something yeah. sometimes, right? Like out of get desperation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if it is like purposely thought out and done, it is a result not of just their – I would say most of the time, not because of the past. It is because mm-hmm. of how the parent is reacting in the current moment to their past. Mm. Because I think we really underestimate like humans' ability to forgive, to repair, to move forward. Most people want a relationship with their parents.
Yes.
They do. They love yes. their parents. Like there is a biological innate thing. Obviously, this is complicated too with like if a child has mental health issues, addiction, right? Like I think those are pretty big outliers that is not what we're talking about. And mm-hmm. I think it's really hard to be a parent of someone who has those things going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I come back to also is just – because at the end of the day, it is like there are two adults. Even if it's an adult child, it yeah. is two adults. And I hate the narrative that parents have sometimes that you owe me something or I'm your parent. And at the end of the day, a child needs to say like this relationship is worth it enough because of our current relationship to mm. pursue the relationship. And if the parent isn't providing anything, and I'm not talking about like monetarily, I'm talking about like anything we look for in a friend. I think parents sometimes just forget that like when their child grows up and is an adult, they like just expect that child to be around for them and they don't realize that like, no, this is a relationship just like anything else. And if I don't have a good relationship with them, if I don't care about them, if I don't care about getting to know them, if I don't provide emotional support, if I don't have fun with them, if I don't do any of these things that make a relationship worth it, relationships right. take work, right?
Yeah.
Then it's like not a surprise when that child maybe doesn't want a – I mean, I guess I'm talking here also about like depth of relationship too because I see that a lot in my work also. Mm-hmm. I see like less estrangement and I think more like parents that are just like, why don't you want to spend time with me? Why yeah. aren't you showing up? And it's like, what are you also contributing to this relationship either? If your only contribution is like, you need to show up at my – like your only context is like, you need to show up at my house for these holidays. And I think a lot of parents prefer dishonest harmony mm-hmm. over like honest, real, authentic relationships with their kids. And I think it is so sad.
Performative.
Yes. Yeah. They want to be able to say to their yes. friend, I have a great relationship with my kids. Yes.
My kids, they were all here for the holidays yes. and they can take the picture and post it to Facebook and, you know, tell Sharon to sit on it and spin. Like, you know, that mm-hmm. her family is better than her family. And, you know, it's like, yeah. it's so common, you know, you see these family pictures. Mm-hmm. that get posted to social media. And it is very rarely that harmonious.
Yes.
And I think you've really hit something on the head that I think feels so difficult for so many adult children with their parents is it continues to feel so gaslighty mm-hmm. when it's just like these weird surface level expectations that everybody needs to meet, mm-hmm. but then everybody's yelling at each other or mad at each other, or someone's not talking to someone, or someone's mad at someone else. But then it's like, but no, we have to be together. And then the one person that will choose to start breaking those cycles mm-hmm. becomes the perpetrator to the yep. whole family.
Yep.
Because they're like, but things were fine. Everybody was fine.
A lot of times when an adult child gets married, this is why in-law problems are so common. It's yes. like the daughter-in-law, the son-in-law is the one that came into the picture. And a lot of times it's because they can see the dysfunction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, I just want to add this caveat here that, like, if you're listening to this – and your mind is going like a million miles a minute, mm-hmm. you get to sit with the nuance of your situation.
Yes.
And I think part of why this conversation so far in this podcast has felt so weaved is because Amanda and I are sitting here like talking about how complex this is. Mm-hmm. And I think really, I'll speak for me, this is kind of like my love letter to you that it's not meant to be clear cut.
Mm, yeah.
It's not meant to be cut and dry, black and white, all or nothing. Mm-hmm. It's really, really messy and it's complicated. And the feelings that you have of, you know, kind of what you were saying earlier about like people want, most people want a loving, caring relationship from their parents. They want their parents to show up for them. They want their parent like to be able to depend on their parent yeah. rather than being the one that their parents depend on.
Yeah.
And so the emotions that you have about that, that like, it's not supposed to be easy if you end up looking in the mirror and saying, you know what, I really do think I need to go no contact estranged. Like, mm-hmm. that's not meant to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think what feels so daunting for some of the clients that I've had who start wanting to work on these sorts of things is they're like, well, when is this going to be easy? Mm. Like, when is it going to, like, when am I just going to feel so frigging confident and I'm not going to give a fuck and it's all going to be fine? And I'm like, but you won't.
Yeah.
There is
going- and that is the grief that you will yes. like I think that is so important to recognize too. And maybe that's also what we're touching on is maybe sometimes with social media people think estrangement is a solution yes. to the pain.
Yes.
And they think it's this like way to be done and to move on. Mm-hmm. And it'll still be painful. Like you will yes. you will grieve your parent for the rest of your life whether they
yeah.
are alive or dead. Yeah. Because that is what it is to have – like that biologically is what it is to have mm-hmm. a parent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you have to say, is it still a net positive for me?
Yeah.
Knowing that I – right? Like of course if there's physical abuse, if there's emotional abuse, if there is stuff like that going on, if the parent, you know, has addiction, mental health issues, stuff like that, like I think it does make it a little bit easier sometimes because it is a little more clear cut. Mm-hmm. But even in those cases, like you're going to be sad probably if you go through with estrangement because it is still really sad and you're still mourning like the parent you never got. Mm-hmm. And there isn't an easy solution
no.
for any of it. It's not easy for the parent. It's not easy for the child. And that's why I really think this is really nuanced. And I think that neither side – like I don't think that people are cutting off their parents way too much.
Right.
I don't think – like I also don't think everyone should cut off their parents. Yep. I think what we're saying is everything is a really fine spectrum and what works for one person doesn't work for another person. And every person also has to choose for themselves. Like there are people I know, people I've worked with who do say like I would rather have some sort of contact with my parents.
Yeah.
Than nothing. I don't mind the like dishonesty of it.
Right.
There are some people that it is so painful and difficult to not be known by their parents that they're like, I would rather have physical separation
yeah.
than be reminded of this over and over again. So it is unique to you. And you, unfortunately, are the one that will have to choose what works best for you. Mm-hmm.
It's so... it's overwhelming, mm-hmm. I think. And I think even like sitting here while we're talking about it, like my clinical brain and my personal brain are firing on like all cylinders, trying to make like every situation within this like feel mm-hmm. heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think so much of this too is so many of my clients, part of why they do come to me in this space wanting to do this type of work is because they don't mm-hmm. feel heard.
Yeah.
Exactly as you said. They feel – they've felt completely ignored and dismissed and belittled and disregarded by mm-hmm. their parent. Mm-hmm. And so there's a million ways that that can happen and that that can play out. And so I think whatever your experience is, the way that – like if we get to a space where my client's like, okay, at a minimum, I'm going to need some serious boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Fine. I can come up with boundaries all damn day. Like, that is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What I will sometimes do is, and this is a skill that I think works for like any type of list that you're trying to create,
mm-hmm.
but I always say we're going to make a pros and cons list,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to throw out the pros. Mm. I want you to like cut off that side of the paper, and I want you to rip it up and throw it away, because the pros will always be pros. The pros will always feel good. The pros will always feel exciting and motivating.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to sit with that cons list.
Mm-hmm.
If you are thinking of truly having some serious rigid boundaries with your parents, yeah. verging on estrangement, verging on no contact, I want you to look at the cons, that the honest cons that you have for that. Really like sitting with yourself and looking in the mirror. And saying, can I live with this?
Mm-hmm.
Can I live with this? Can I live with that? Can I live with that?
Mm-hmm.
You touched on this earlier where it's like, are you prepared to live with a certain layer of grief and negativity
mm-hmm.
once this decision gets put in place?
Mm-hmm.
And I say that not to like scare you or to yeah. make you feel like, oh God, like I shouldn't do this. No. What I think too often gets missed in the social media sphere around no contact
mm-hmm.
is it kind of becomes like this badass fuck you.
Mm.
Like, oh my God, it's the most empowering thing I've ever done. Like, I'm so glad I did it. Blah, 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 blah. And I think, yes, that's part of the pros list.
Mm-hmm.
There will be moments where you feel empowered. You feel validated. You're like, rah, rah, like my mom and dad are the worst, whatever. And like anything on social media, that is the highlight reel aspect
mm-hmm.
of estrangement and no contact.
Mm-hmm.
It will also hurt. It might be lonely. It might be filled with grief. It might be filled with regret. Mm-hmm. It might be filled with questioning yourself and second guessing yourself at mm-hmm. certain moments. And so I think the whole point of our conversations in these podcast episodes is for you to, you know, if you don't relate to this, great. If you have an incredible relationship with your family, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of this can even be applied to friendship in certain mm-hmm. situations
mm-hmm.
or extended family members or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But for you to feel empowered to start looking at the complexity of your situation and embrace that complexity and learn how to cope with it
mm-hmm.
rather than see it as this indication that like, I'm so messed up. Like something's wrong with me. My family's so messed mm-hmm. up. I'm so this, I'm so that. And then it becomes this paralysis where you just do nothing. And then you're still bitter. You're still resentful, all this stuff, but then nothing changes, but then you're mad. Nothing is changing. Mm-hmm. And just this whole like up, down, all around. And so like, if the wheels are turning on this for you, embrace that complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you willing to live with? What are you not willing to live with?
Mm-hmm.
And give yourself layers of how you want to approach this and give yourself markers that you want to look for. Before, if you are weighing estrangement, no contact, the first thing that I would always say is, have you had a discussion about these things in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Are your parents, mom, dad, siblings, whoever, are they aware of the grievances that you have?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need to have a conversation to let them in on mm-hmm. our inner world to see if they're willing to work on it?
Mm-hmm.
Then if they hear you out,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even if their response is messy,
mm-hmm.
but they express, I would like to do better. I mm-hmm. want to be close to you. I want a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that we can work with.
Mm-hmm.
We can meet them where they're at. And now this gets complicated because it gets into the whole like the oldest daughter feeling like she's raising her freaking parents. And like, we'll have a whole series on that. Don't worry. But like, I think markers like that of, mm-hmm. okay, I do talk to them. It goes horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's triggering. It's awful. I hate it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are the boundaries that I now need to have as a result of that conversation? Or how do I want to act and protect myself as a result of that conversation? Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this very reactive, very dramatic, like, I'm never talking to you again. Mm-hmm. I blocked your phone number. I blocked mm-hmm. you on social media. Like, you get to have a nuanced response depending on their nuanced response. Mm-hmm. And the right decision is what is right for you. Mm-hmm. It's not anybody else. It's not trying to say that, like, I can post the most, like, ultimate, you know, TikTok gotcha mm-hmm. moment with my family explaining my story, how horrible it is. Like, you don't have to have that. You can have, you know what? I need a couple weeks off mm-hmm. to kind of think. Mm-hmm. It is so up to you. And I know mm-hmm. that feels intimidating. And I know that that's the part of it that feels like the most overwhelming. But also, that's very empowering mm-hmm. because it is your choice and it is your decision, and you get to approach it the best way that it works for you. Mm-hmm. And you can take it step by step and you can work on it as you see fit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what confuses so many people, is they think there's only one way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, I think about how technology has also made, I think, some of this more complicated in some ways, good and bad, where I think about how 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people lived near their families and it was like easier kind of, or they moved away and that was just like it. And now with like texting and social media and Facebook photos, right? Like, it makes it very clear, I think, when you like don't have a lot of a relationship with mm-hmm. your family. And I wonder sometimes towards the people who are like, right, estrangement is on the rise and it's right, like horrible and we're destroying families and things like that. I wonder how much of this was happening before, but we just like didn't have a way to clock it because it was just like, oh, well, she comes to the holidays and that's it. And we have a great relationship. Compared to now, we do Zooms with families, they call, they text, and it's like, why didn't you text me back?
Yep.
Where people didn't, if they weren't together in person, didn't have a way to constantly communicate with each other too. Or even like, I wonder how much of it gets lost in the sauce with texting and tone and all of that too, I think makes it all more complicated.
I think you just touched on something so important that we could do a whole other episode on, which is this idea of like what social media exposed, meaning
that like, was already there.
Yeah. Like, and I think there were a lot of people that had these horrible family dynamics, but they had nothing else to compare it to.
Yes.
So they just assume, family sucks. Yeah. Family's tough. And so they put up with a lot more things because it was just this little world. Grandpa's an ass. whatever. He's right.
Everyone else in the family justifies it. It's just normal.
Yes. And then with social media now, and I think this could be applied to like anything. Mm-hmm. Now you see like, oh no, that was awful. Like that wasn't typical. Other people who went through that were hurt in the way that I was. And so I think that's a really good thing in people finding out they weren't alone and they do have options. But then that gives rise to overexposure to the worst case scenario.
Yes. And maybe people not realizing, like you were talking about, because what gets promoted on social media is like, you have a bad relationship with your parents, the answer is no contact.
Right.
There isn't that nuance. And I think it can be really shocking for a parent who thinks that they have a fine relationship to all of a sudden be told by their child, like, I'm not talking to you. Like, that's alarming and scary. And as a parent, like, I could tear up just like thinking about that potential happening. And I think that is where like so much too of, you know, this is nuanced. A parent's response really matters.
Yes.
In the moment also.
Yeah. And I think just this whole thing was just giving you permission, like I said earlier, and like you've touched on as well, giving you, listener, permission for this to be messy. Mm-hmm. And that your situation probably won't look like anybody else's, because it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Because your situation is unique. The relationships you have are unique. The dynamics are unique. The insight is unique. And so you get to take all of that into account as you make the decision of whatever it is. Yes. Yes.
Don't rush.
Because I can tell you, all of the clients that I've had, and I'm not saying this as like black or nothing thinking, all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, none of the clients who I have had who came in and said, I want to go no contact, have actually gone no contact when we've started talking about it. Mm-hmm. They've become very boundaried. Mm-hmm. They've had very difficult discussions. Mm-hmm. They've had much different expectations.
And they could, right, in the future.
Yes, they could. Yet everyone who came in with this idea of like, ugh, I have a horrible relationship with my mom and that means I have to stop talking to her. Mm-hmm. We've found a way to make it work for them, mm-hmm, in a way that feels authentic, that feels like it honors their needs and their desires and their pain while approaching the relationship in a layered, nuanced way. Mm-hmm. So take that with what you will. You get to do whatever you would like to do. That's the beautiful rules about this. But we just wanted to give a space where we could like kind of just highlight some of this complexity for you.
I think we can say to the people saying one way or another, we say no contact is a spectrum. Yes. And there are some people on one side and some people on the other. And I think it's really missed that there's a lot of spectrum to it. Yeah. There's a lot of places, if you're listening, you can choose to try for a little bit and see how it works. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, you can set stronger boundaries. Like, that is the good thing about boundaries as well, is they can change.
They're fluid.
You have a kid, something changed, you know, you may need firmer boundaries, mm-hmm, something else happens in your life, you move away, you move closer,
right?
All that. The other thing I would be remiss to say is, if you want more specialized support in this, Whitney Goodman is an incredible therapist. We will have to eventually maybe have her on the podcast.
Yes.
She has a online community called Calling Home, which she also has a podcast called Calling Home. You probably already know of it if you're listening to our little podcast. Yeah. But yeah, be sure to check it out, because she, I really think, is like one of the leaders in this space and has just incredible resources, support, community. Mm-hmm. And she's very nuanced in the way she covers this as well.
Yeah, she's really wonderful. So turn to her for a resource if you're needing extra help. All right. Well, after that super easy conversation that we just had, we appreciate you so much, and we're so glad that you listen to us and we make this for you. And the thing that we just always like to remind is that we are completely independent. We are doing this all by our little selves, and you know, so many people will reach out and ask how they can support us and help us out. And next to listening, which is a big one, mm-hmm, if you would love to rate, review, subscribe on any platform that you listen to, that would be kindest, most loving thing that you can do for us, and we would appreciate it. So
yeah, or share the podcast,
yes,
with friends, with family, on social media. Yeah. We'd love to hear what you think. Tag us,
yeah,
and let us know.
Yeah, and post it to our stories.
We will. Yes. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week.
Bye.